Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, we're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for answered prayers. Thank you for giving us all we need day by day to grow in Christ, to be ready for the latter rain. Thank you for helping us to overcome. And thank you also for blessing everyone on our prayer list, Father, with a hedge of angels, with answered prayers, be it physical or spiritual answers. And thank you for forgiving even those that come against us, and us as well, because we're all sinners saved by grace. And thank you, Father, for bridling my tongue, and later when we have testimony, you bridle everyone's tongue, so that you and you alone are glorified. And we uplift all those prayer requests that are being put in the room now, as well as during the children's story. Thank you, Father. And thank you for teaching us how to love you by loving us first. And we offer this prayer to the best of our ability in the name of your Son, our Savior and King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, that's where I'm going to start out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. And I want to welcome everybody on the stream on WTPR, dear in the chat room. And I think that's it. We don't do the cell phone anymore because it was very unreliable. So, praise the Lord, we're actually streaming, but I'll praise again later during testimony service because I, as you know, am banned on YouTube again. So, when you're banned, you can't stream. So, that's why the Lord blessed us with our very own stream after the last ban. I think it was November. You know. So, anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word or message of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ." As a matter of fact, that's what we're being tested for eternity, too. We'll be ambassadors for eternity. But, again, verse 20, "Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him," or made the righteousness. And so anyway, the ministry of reconciliation is in how we perform the task of reconciling people to him. You know, this means every newborn child of God actually has a ministry on day one. The Great Commission, as many call it over the centuries. You know, as we know, we are in the last days of Earth's history, and it's amazingly obvious now. And we have to live accordingly. We have very little time left to study the Word and pray so as to grow in grace to be in that number that we all strive on to, as well as to be able to receive the latter rain, because not everybody's going to get that. It's sad, too, when you think about it, because there's going to be a lot of people out there with the Holy Spirit, you know, the former rain, who won't receive the abundance or the refreshing or the outpouring of the latter rain. And then when plague number one hits, they'll be forever lost. That's right. They had the Holy Spirit one moment, the next moment they won't, because they keep denying, because by then they'll have an understanding of what the real mark of the beast is, because the prophecy is clear. Everyone's going to understand with perfect clarity what the mark is, because we're going to be preaching it in ways that's going to cut their hearts. They're going to know. Even the atheist is going to know. And so, you know, like the Sunday keepers with the Holy Spirit in them, because the Lord winks. Because at this point, a lot of them just don't know. But one day is going to come, they're going to have to make that decision. It's just, and that's hence the reason for the vaccine. It's just a test, because the vaccine is a religious decision. A lot of people get a little bit shocked about that, but that's why YouTube pulled that video I made a couple of days ago and banned me, because I showed where the vaccine, you have to make the religious decision to defile your body either with pork or with a aborted child, because the cells of aborted children and the cells of pigs is in the vaccine. And it's no mistake that they made that information overwhelmingly public. Satan needs to know where the Christians are that won't make that bad decision, because that's where he's going to focus his attack in the coming days. The ones that say, yeah, it's no big deal, yeah, they've already given up. And so, but that doesn't mean they can't, you know, still be saved after they get the vaccine. You know, they said they have one more decision to make, but it's going to be a lot more difficult for them, because they've already started allowing Satan all sorts of permission to be in their lives. And so Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this is speaking in a big way to us today, because of the fact that we're so close to the end. I mean, seriously, the Pope gets his way, he's going to start enforcing the mark in 2027, in the fall of 2027. At least that's what that big atomic clock in Times Square of New York City is all about. It's counting down to the fall of 2027. And then, of course, you got John Kerry, Roman Catholic John Kerry, out there demanding one world government, climate change, the whole nine yards by 2030. And so, but I don't want to get all into that right now. It also says this in James chapter 1, verse 12. And thanks again, Brother Sean, for putting the verses up. I know I'm going a little quick sometimes, but... And you got lag, so don't expect them to be right there with the verses, because by the time he hears me say it, people are still hearing... No, you can't... Saying you're still hearing music on WTPR? No. I don't know. That's not possible. Hit refresh, Todd. Try hitting F5. That's not possible. Let me hear echo. Echo. Yeah, I'm live on WTPR. There's no way around that. So, James chapter 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So amen and amen to that. Hold on a second here. Okay. Where's Fran? SDRND. Okay. Let me get back here. Okay, so blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And by the way, have you ever noticed that James, the brother of Jesus, says that when we endure temptation, wherein we are tried and tested? Passing the test means we get the crown of life. Now, yes, that's common knowledge all throughout Christendom, but did you notice something a tad deeper here, though? It has to do with the temptation. Satan is unrelenting. We all know this. And we're going to be tempted all the way up until the day we start to glow and then ascend to New Jerusalem to be forever with the Lord. And that's, of course, with the Gideon band that never die. And then, of course, the people that rise out of their graves, of course, will also be ascending. So, but I kind of like to always refer to us as in that number, because that's what we're all striving on to. So praise his name. But the reason I'm touching on this is because some Christians, and mind you, this is especially true for the babes in Christ, but you know, some Christians actually think being tempted means they are sinful. But no, it does not. It means we are a threat to Satan, and therefore targeted by him. Satan only has some power to tempt us. It's when we succumb to the temptation that he has us. But only until we confess and repent, too. You know, because the temptation could just be a lousy thought, and then, oh, you know, you shake it off, and then, you know, confess it and repent of it. But all too often the Christians will collapse in despair, thinking that because they are tempted so often that they are bad people. And when they think that, Satan wins, because now they naturally refuse to share their faith, thinking that they're a bad witness for Christ because of all these temptations, when in fact they are a very powerful witness, and that's why Satan's attacking them. I mean, they can relate to people that are going through the same situations they're going through, but they don't realize that because Satan is, like I said earlier, he's unrelenting. And I mean, that's why he targets some people with many, many, many temptations. As a matter of fact, I like what is stated back in 1864 in Spiritual Gifts on page 99. It says, I saw that the enemy would... Oh, here, let me put it in the room for y'all, because I'm not going to ask Sean to surf this up. That'll take a while. Here you go. It says, I saw that the enemy would either contend for the usefulness or the life of the godly. It's one or the other. Again, I saw that the enemy would either contend for the usefulness or the life of the ungodly, and will try to mar their peace as long as they live in this world. But his power is limited. He may cause the furnace to be heated, but Jesus and his angels will watch the trusting Christian that nothing may be consumed but the dross. Isn't that neat? Because part of the temptations, part of the trials that we go through, actually help us to get to a point that we stop sinning. It's like, it always reminds me of that young kid that I was talking to decades ago when we first started doing online church and a thing called Fire Talk. And I told him, I says, if you keep on standing firm every time you're tempted in that area, Satan will eventually give up, because he doesn't like the idea that you keep on glorifying Christ whenever he tempts you to glorify him. But keep in mind, he'll do an end run on you, which means he's not going to tempt you in that area anymore, but he'll find something else you're weak in, so you got to stand your ground. And then something else, a little lower down on the same page in Spiritual Gifts, it says, in these dreadful hours, we must learn to trust, to depend on the sole merits of the atonement. Because 1 John 1:9 is no joke. The Lord wasn't kidding when he told John to put that down on paper, if you confess and repent, your sins are gone, as if you never committed them. And so you can depend on the sole merits of the atonement. And in all our helpless worthiness, we can cast ourselves, she's saying, upon the merits of the crucified and risen Savior. We shall never perish while we do this. Never. When light shines on our pathway, it is no great thing to be strong in the strength of grace. Because anybody can do that, But to wait patiently in hope when all is dark, when clouds envelop us, she says, that requires faith and submission, which causes our will to be swallowed up in the will of God. We are too quickly discouraged and earnestly cry for the trial to be removed from us. Then we should plead for patience to endure and grace to overcome. Because I'm guilty of this. We're all guilty of this. Oh, I just want this trial to end. But Fran, did you read your private message there? So many people, and myself included, they want the trial to end yesterday. But if it ends too soon, we will never learn to stand when that trial becomes 10 times worse, and especially during plague number 6. Temptation is not sin. It's when you bow to the temptation that sin erupts. Notice what James says after sharing what he shared in verse 12, which we read a moment ago. Oh, okay. Thanks. All right, so verses 14 to 16 in James chapter 1. Verses 14 to 16, it says this. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So we need to overcome every area of the flesh these last days, because we know Satan's going to assail us in the last well, in the coming days, so as to try and stop us from going forth with a loud cry. Many of us, myself included, all of us, every now and then just feel like we're just unworthy. We're the scum of the earth. Like Isaiah says, I'm undone. And you don't, and sometimes you feel like you just can't share your faith. But what happens when the opportunity presents itself? Yeah, like Jeremiah, you cannot stay. In other words, you just start speaking. You start glorifying Christ. You try helping the person as best you can. Yeah, it's just, and when the Lord sees you doing that, yeah, we're going to be used by him in the loud cry, because he's testing us to see if he can use us now. You know, the way he is using, you know, the Satan, the way he's using the masks, the vaccines, the passports, the social distancing, and all sorts of fake fear, it's blatantly obvious. Satan's the one that's really scared here. He's scared out of his wits. I mean, that's why the vaccine's set up the way it is. It's a religious decision, because he knows he's got that final hurrah. That's the mark of the beast. He has to make sure that he's got his ducks in a row. This is why he tested what he did in Esther's day, in Daniel's day, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day. And he's been testing this. He couldn't use commandment number 4. No, he wasn't going to do that one. That's his ace up his sleeve. That's what he's only prophesied to do in our day. And so he's been building towards that the whole time. And by the way, the masks aren't stopping us at all. We could wear them, or we don't have to wear them. And by the way, 2 more states stopped the mandate, you know, the mandate of the mask yesterday. It was West Virginia and Arizona. I think it was Arizona. In restaurants and stores and stuff like that. And so it's 4 states now. But still, it's up to us as individuals. The masks are, however, causing issues for the people we're trying to reach, yeah. A brother from Michigan, as a matter of fact, was telling me how when he tries to hand a tract to someone, they refuse to take it because they fear they're going to get COVID. You know, everybody's falling for these lies out there because no one's reading Bibles. And so he, like we have all done before, placed the tracts where people are going to pick them up on their own. I mean, isn't that strange, though? The ones wearing the masks are afraid to take your tract because they fear you might have a disease. Yet they'll walk into a store and handle all sorts of products on the shelf with their bare hands. Isn't it? It's just ridiculous. That's the way this world is. It's just confusing. I mean, they'll even place these items in the shopping cart and bring them home and let their children touch them and play with them. If they got babies, put them in their mouths. And they know 2 or more stock boys touched every single item in the store, and upwards of maybe 100 people could have touched or even sneezed on them, you know, these products in the store. Yet, they'll take them home and give them to their family. But if you, a single Christian, tries to hand them a tract, Satan's going to have them thinking we have leprosy or something. And so the reality is, Satan knows what's coming, and he knows how powerful the truth is. Since we have so much truth in our coffers of wisdom, he's going to do all he can to make people fear us. And with his temptations, he will also make us feel less and less worthy to proclaim the truth he fears. That's one of the reasons for that dark cloud, Sister White used to call it, that the unrelenting, it just bears you down. And Satan also, he also knows about 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So not only is Satan scared out of his wits, he's got the weakest form of power over us, and he also has to allow a way of escape. Otherwise, he'll be obliterated. He knows, he fears Christ. That's why a babe in Christ can say something as simple as, get thee hence, Satan, and he doesn't just wander off, mumbling under his breath, saying, I'll be back, you little jerk. He's not going to do that. He flees in fear because you're putting forth faith in Christ. That's what scares him, and because he knows he can't get around what Christ has set down. That's why he's got to come up and bring all these fake fearful events in the coming days, as well as all the bogus Bibles out there. He knew he couldn't get rid of the Bible, and so he wrote new ones. Why we see what's going on. You know, just as the prophecies are true, as we can see them fulfilling all around us, the promises of the Word of God are just as true and just as trustworthy to the remnant people of God. We were just talking about this last night, and as we were closing for Sabbath, or starting for Sabbath, about how Yeah, some of the stuff that's going on right now, a lot of people don't even know it's a major sign of the end. They have no clue. But because we study our Bibles daily and pray like the patriarchs and prophets of old did three times a day, we are aware what they're planning next. And it vindicates us. I don't know how many emails I've gotten over the years, and I don't know how many emails you all have gotten over the years where people have said, I don't know how you knew this 10 years ago, but could you please go into a little bit more detail as to why this is happening right now? Because the seeds we planted back then are getting watered. Even if it's just by watching the daily news, it's getting watered. That's where I focus my blog, by the way. I couldn't believe it. A preacher a few months ago and a preacher's wife a year or so ago asked me, what preachers do I watch to get my information that I put on the block? And I says, none. There's none out there I can trust. I said, where are you getting this from? I said, the daily news. If you study prophecy, if you study scripture, and if you pray daily, the daily news is going to be an open book. But if you don't, yeah, people, I mean, the devil's got to be laughing and smiling from horn to horn just when he sees people out there. This stuff's in the Bible. But they're all oblivious to it. And he's laughing it up because, look, if you guys just open that book up, I wouldn't have any power at all to confuse you. And that's why he hates us. That's why they ban videos, you know? Come on, something as simple as, I was just showing a religious decision has to be made to take the vaccine in the same way a religious decision will be made when you get the mark of the beast, because the word worship is right there with it every time the word, you know, the mark of the beast is mentioned in prophecy. And so anyway, as Jesus said, we need to endure unto the end, and then we will be saved. In fact, notice what Jesus said to the 70 disciples that just returned after he sent them out, and then, of course, they reported on how even the demons were subject unto them and how many people were healed. What he says next to those men, and by the way, it's in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 24 is where I want to go. What he says to them, to these men, he says to us as well. For the Word of God is not just a lesson book on such things as doctrine and prophecy. It's also evidence that if mere men can do that which they did in Christ's name 2,000 years ago, because 70 was not all, it wasn't, you know, just apostles. And the word disciple is student. Okay? Remember what Ananias, not the one that was married to, it was Ananias, I think, yeah. Because Ananias was with Sapphira, and they both dropped dead in a doorway. And, of course, prophecy, the doorway is Christ. That's why some people that get into it for the money are dead in Christ. The thing is, Ananias was just praying. He was a disciple. The scriptures are clear. Not only was he given vision and instruction on how to lay his hands on Saul at the time before he became Paul, he literally saw the Lord's hand move when Saul's eyes were opened. And then, of course, as you know, Ananias gave Paul even more information when he finally got there. And so now you don't have to be a theologian or a doctor of divinity with all this alphabet soup after your name to go out there and proclaim it. Because those guys, yeah, not a single one of them are walking with Christ. These doctors, but they're all about themselves. And so what the Lord says next to these men is amazing. Now, because again, the Bible is not just a lesson book on doctrine and prophecy. It's also evidence that if these men can do what they did in Christ's name 2,000 years ago, and they only had the former rain, well, better yet, they didn't even have the former rain. That's right, because Pentecost had not yet happened. And so one can only imagine how amazing the latter rain will be when we receive a more abundant portion of the Holy Spirit in the coming days. Notice what he said to the 70 obedient men of God back then. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 24. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Verse 18, and now notice what Jesus said. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Well, let's stop here for a minute. Do you realize why he said this and the timing of it? And it's a response to something they said to him first. Satan is powerful on earth, yeah, but the real power is from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The fact they reside in New Jerusalem, or heaven as Jesus just called it, when Satan fell from heaven, along with the angels he deceived, all access to the power of the Godhead was forever lost to him. This is why when even a babe in Christ says, "Get thee hence, Satan," that the devils flee in fear. Satan used to live in heaven before his name was changed from Lucifer to Beelzebub. He knows what real power is. Like Benny Hinn's false healings, Satan's power is just as fake. It's kind of like you would say in the old days, just a bunch of mirrors, you know, like with the magicians and whatnot. The only way it has any power over us is if we grant him permission to lord over us and then deceive us. And that could be everything from gambling to porn, or alcohol to marijuana. It could be any, he's got all sorts of little things that he does. You give him the slightest bit of permission, he's going to be there. That's what he lives for. But as Christians, Jesus Christ is to be our Lord. And so Jesus right off stated here that he saw Satan falling from heaven thousands of years ago, proving he really doesn't have any true power down here at all. I mean, look, they said, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name." And this is, in today's language, yeah, it's because I saw Satan fall from heaven. But what does that mean? I mean, when the 70 said what they said about the devils being subject unto them, they were obviously shocked and amazed at the power of Christ's word to them back when, when he sent them out. And so Jesus told them why the devils were so easily cast away by saying they had the ability to cast out the devils because Satan fell from heaven and had no power whatsoever anymore. Forever. He has no power against any true and obedient child of God. I mean, why Christians can't see this today shocks me to the core. Many of us, myself included, have seen people healed, demons cast out, and even other prayers answered very quickly. But over the course of years, because his timing is better than ours. Yeah, we always want our prayers answered yesterday. But if it's not going to work well if it does happen that way. We have things that we got to learn too, but we have also seen at times where it appeared our prayers failed. But I honestly believe it's not that we failed, it's that we have yet to learn when and when not to pray for certain things. We have a tendency to ask amiss, right? We need to have faith before we need faith. Yeah, I know that sounds a little confusing, but what I mean is, like Peter, perceiving that that man had the faith so as to declare to him, "Stand up and walk," that day. We need to learn how to perceive as well. And so, again, stay in your Bibles and pray each and every day, or you will not have what you need when you need it. Brothers and sisters, when we come to that obedient plateau position in our faith, we will know Jesus as the 70 knew him. They saw him with their eyes, and they knew of his power and his awesome ways. Soon, that latter rain's going to fall whether you're ready for it or not. And it's only going to fall upon those that have overcome all sin. And we will know Jesus more than any apostle who ever hugged him face to face 2,000 years ago, because the Holy Spirit that is in 100% agreement with Jesus and the Father will be in us in such an abundant manner that our faith will be such that we can see things most on earth could never see. And the miracles that the apostles saw will be witnessed by us, and even more so because we will have more of the Holy Spirit than they ever had. As a matter of fact, the 70 didn't even have it yet. Pentecost came after Christ ascended. And so it is fitting that we should, as we will, have billions of people against us when they only had millions. Now do you see why Satan has been denying the Holy Spirit even exists as an actual person of the Godhead? Such denial means the Holy Spirit cannot be seen by them, for they made the decision to stand without him. And since we all have free will, then they will never receive the latter rain of the Holy Spirit by their own choice. That's why they're out there. And by the way, the thought just came to mind regarding the vaccine passports. If the Lord needs us to preach, now, as a matter of fact, somebody asked me this question in an email. It was Brother Jarno or Sister Jarno, I can't remember the name. A lot of names confuse me, especially when they're foreign names. I'll share this. I might go over a couple of minutes if that's okay, but because the question was, Nicholas, you said something. You know, they were asking me. I said something in a video. Well, yeah, the video that got banned because I put it on BitChute. That's BIT, and then shoot, which is CHUTE, like a parachute, I guess, or a laundry chute. That's the only way I can figure it. But those vaccine passports, if the, because he says how, because I mentioned, you know, the lockdowns and the you got to have a vaccine passport in some nations already, and it's going to go global like that. And I says, but don't worry, brothers and sisters, the Lord's already given us way around that one. And the guy in the email was asking, so how? What are you talking? Where? And I more or less said, well, if you can meet us on church today, ask the question after fellowship. But I just realized today's testimony service. The testimony is probably going to go on for quite a while, and I might have all of 5 or 10 minutes before we get to the 4 o'clock hour for Brother Andre. So I'll be off quick. And so I'm going to share it now. I'm going to more or less the answer to this. Sean, go to Acts chapter 8, verses 39 and 40. Put those. Thank you, brother. If the Lord needs us to preach to a certain family, or even just one soul, hundreds or even thousands of miles away, I have no doubt in my mind that we will go into prayer. And when we come out of our prayer, we're going to be standing before that soul, ready to preach, no matter where they live, for the Word of God speaks of more than one time wherein what we would call transporting took place. Yeah, I know. Some of you are on the edge of your seat right now, no doubt. But do you remember when they wanted to kill Jesus before his time, and he vanished in the crowd? Yeah, there's two times right there. They wanted to cast him from a cliff, and the other time they wanted to stone him. I think that when they cast him from the cliff, he turned around and walked right through the crowd, and they couldn't find him. He walked right through the crowd, I'm thinking, invisibly. I've seen that happen with me, to the point where I'm going through an intersection and an old couple who I believe to this day were their husband and wife, obviously, but I believe they were angels because of the way it all went down that day. I was at another light half a block down, and I was on my way to work, and I didn't want to go to this place to work because the guy there was bad news. I had set up a telemarketing service for him inside of his insurance office. He was selling insurance, and I was blessed on the phone. As a matter of fact, you know, I don't want to get into that, but I did have a telemarketing company too later. But I went there one day, and I hired a bunch of girls because having a girl on the phone when it comes to insurance is a lot easier to keep the people on the phone. And it just so happens that's how it would work back in the 80s. And so one day I come to work, and there's all these girls there. You know, I was a little late, and so I came in, and they were like all sitting there doing their work. They're all on the phones. They're, you know, reading the pitch I gave them to read. And you remember the video day in your high school back in the 70s? They would roll in this cart that was like about 5 feet tall, and there'd be a TV on top of it, and there was a VCR under it. Well, that's what happened. You know, I walk in, and there's this TV there on this cart. It's with the VCR running, but it was porn. I immediately shut it off, and I went to the guy, and I read him the riot act, and I told all the girls to go home. Right? So the next day, I'm on my way to work, right? And I'm praying, and I'm saying, Father God, if you don't want me to go to this job, because I don't know, I need an absolute from you. And I need it quick, because as you know, Father, I'm in the car, it's running, and I got my right turn signal on, and I'm headed up 95th Street to go to Ridgeland Avenue, and then, of course, or no, I would have to go to Roberts Road, but I had to cross Ridgeland Avenue to get there. So I turn right. It's raining, and I'm cruising, and I get up to the light. It's green for where I'm at, and some old couple in the left turning lane on the opposite side of the road, on the other side, turned right in front of me as if I didn't exist. I slammed on the brakes. Useless. It's raining. So I hit them full force at 40. Back tires came off the ground, everything. Jammed my wrist. Well, the one that was broken when I was a kid, kind of like jammed. And I praise God, I hit them right at the cross member where the firewall you know, between the front door and the front fender where the firewall is, because I didn't more or less introduce myself to his wife face to face, because I'd have gone right through her if I'd have hit her door. I'd have T-boned that car 40 miles an hour. They both survived no problem. The cop asked me, do you want to give him a ticket? Because I said, no, they didn't purposely pull out in front of me, but I'm thinking they did. If they're angels, right? Because I was invisible, because they actually said to the officer, we did not see him. And it wasn't like I was riding a skateboard. I was in a car, right? And so check out how we see it. And this is what I, you know, believe happened. And some of you have even told me about certain situations where, like, someone was like, you weren't even there. They were looking right through you, kind of a thing. The Lord is protecting his people even now, letting us see these things, right? And so right after Philip baptized the eunuch, this happened in Acts chapter 8, verses 39 to 40. Okay. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and that the eunuch saw him no more. And people will say, oh, maybe he just moved him on down the road. He didn't see him. Okay, it's just the way they talk old. No, read on. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. To say Philip was found at Azotus, or whatever you want to call it, leads me to think he suddenly found himself there. The word found here also means perceived, meaning that after arising at Azotus, he figured out where he was after catching his bearings, right? Why else would this word be used? For if he walked there on his own, he would know for a fact where he was. He would not have to perceive or find himself there. In other words, had he walked to Azotus, he would have known where he was because of the familiar sights on the way to that city. But if he was transported, as we call it today, he would have to discover where he was by looking around once arriving there. Hence, he found himself at Azotus. And for those of you that are a little bit confused in regards to how this could possibly happen, read what went down when Daniel was in the lion's den. As they're tossing him into the lion's den, the angels are headed back home to New Jerusalem to let the Father know what's going down with Daniel. And the Lord gives them instructions on what to do for Daniel. They go back to earth. And before Daniel even hits the ground, they close the mouths of the lions. That's transporting, okay, is what we would call today. Or speed of, going in speed of thought. I'm wondering if that's kind of how we're going to be traveling from planet to planet when we get home. Speed of thought. But I'm sure the Lord, when we go home the first time, he's going to let us see the sights, because the prophecy is clear. He is going to let us see the things that he has created, so it's going to take us 7 days to get home. And that's going to be an amazing trip. Boy, we're going to get flying down to a science by then, right? Without a plane. But getting back to Jesus, remember how Jesus was walking on the water and immediately after he stepped into the boat, this happened. It's in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 20 to 21. It says, but he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Right? And so because he was walking on the water, right? Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Plus, the time they sought to cast him off the cliff. May as well go there. Luke chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. And I'll close with this one. Luke 4, verses 29 and 30, and it says, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him onto the brow of the hill, because he said things that they didn't much care for, so they were going to cast Jesus off the cliff. Led him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. How can Jesus do that, walking through their midst without actually becoming invisible to them completely? And keep in mind, Christ did everything as an example unto us that we will do in the coming days. Hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.